All right? Let me tell you something. Hold it. Let me just... Oh, wait. You know, let me just tell you something of how he is. When I went to preach for him at General Assembly, when I got into the lounge, hold it now. You listen first. That's how you know you're not. Oh, listen. All right, when I went to preach for him at the General Assembly, he said to me, he said, you know, I got coffee for you because I know you like coffee. I found out. So the coffee wasn't available. Somehow they didn't. And so when I was in there and he came in, the coffee that I didn't, he brought the coffee to come and meet me. Do you understand how thoughtful that is? Huh? You know, because he ordered stuff. I must say, well, don't let me talk. I don't want people to start ordering coffee for me. Please don't bring coffee. I have enough coffee. All right? Don't say that. Okay, we see you like coffee. I have enough. The Lord is not sending you. Vanish the idea. All right, but he's a man as, and we've only seen a fraction of what God is doing in his life. But the more God increases him, the more humble he gets. You can use grace to oppress, or you can use grace to serve. He uses the grace God has given to him to serve people. All right, he's a powerful voice in this nation. He's a powerful voice on this continent. He's a powerful voice in the world. Let's rise to our feet and bring to the podium Apostle Joshua Selman.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Give Jesus a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Wow. It's good to see everyone again. Happy New Year. Thank you for this opportunity, Pastor Poju, you and your dear wife. It's always an honor. I'm here again, and to Jesus be all the glory. I want to acknowledge all the men and the women of God in this place. Let's give them a big God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Very quickly, to walk with my time, can we lift our hands to heaven again and just ask the Lord to breathe upon our lives, to breathe upon our destinies? It's been a feast of light in this conference, and light to be added to light. Let's pray that God will speak to us again. The Bible says concerning Elijah that the word of the Lord came to him a second time. The word of the Lord is coming again. As for a quickened understanding of the word, Isaiah 11 says it shall be of quick understanding. Glory be to Jesus. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be gloriously seated. I just thought to make an observation before I get to my session. And this is to give us another reason to really bless God for the grace that is placed upon Pastor Poju. It's not very usual for ministries holding conferences like this to bring men and women of God from across different faith expressions. Generally speaking, there's a risk, a serious risk attached to it. And the reason is because you want to maintain a flow of thought and a flow of understanding. And so it takes bending over backwards and loving Jesus even beyond your platform to extend your hand, to allow other people, not minding what risk those perspectives can bring. There are many pastors here, and most times people would like to just maintain a circumference of understanding. But the challenge with that is that you will be effective, but you will not be broad enough, you see. And so for Pastor Poju to have allowed all of us to come You know, sometimes ministers can have varying perspectives, but to be able to aggregate everything, trusting the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that it will lead to edification and not confusion, I think is deserving of honor. Let's give him a big God bless you again. Hallelujah. So I have two assignments for this conference. The Lord placed it in my heart as my contribution. And my emphasis really will be showing us how to manifest the kingdom. There's been several speakers bringing several dimensions of truth and understanding as regards this theme, but the Lord has placed it on my heart to help us understand the kingdom and then understand what it takes to truly manifest the kingdom. And this will be my areas of focus for all through my sessions. So I'll name for a topic, manifesting the kingdom. Manifesting the kingdom. This will be our first session. Two verses very quickly. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, and we'll begin our reading from verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Glory to the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, where we get the theme for the conference, so Jesus is, it's a series of discussion really began in chapter 5, what we know as the Beatitudes. He began to introduce them to the culture of the kingdom. And so he would contrast the way the heathen behaved versus the way the kingdom expected people to behave. They say this, but this is what I say, you know, and all of that. And then when we get to chapter 6, he now begins to teach them about prayer. And now he says, in praying, pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. I'm not teaching on the prayer, but there's a lot to unpack there. Hallelujah. Number one, he says, when you pray, you must come to the Father. It's a relational thing. It's important that he must be your Father. It's from the word Abba, Pater. It means my source, my sustainer, my defender, my protector. You don't come to him having another plan B. Our Father, which is in heaven, meaning faith will be required in your prayer because it's in a dimension that is beyond the physical realm, which is in heaven. Number three, hallowed be your name. You must come with the spirit of reverence. And then number four, he says, thy kingdom come. And he tells you how the kingdom comes. KJV puts a full stop there, but it's not a correct expression. It's supposed to be your kingdom come. Then the next sentence tells you how his kingdom comes, by your will being done in earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So let's look at this subject. I want to do a little definition, if you do not mind. I like to bring clarity as I teach. What exactly is kingdom? For most believers, we have heard the concept, particularly among the Pentecostal charismatic circles, but we're not able to articulate with intelligence what the kingdom is all about. Now, the concept of kingdom is not even a spiritual concept, or would I say, it's not a religious concept. The concept of kingdom is a governmental concept, meaning it is not just privy to those in the faith. Are we together now? Traditionalists understand kingdom, other hedonistic people, we have all kinds of kingdoms around the world. And it's important we understand that concept, and then we can connect it to many other things we'll be discussing. So very quickly for a definition, a kingdom is defined as a territory, any territory where the influence, where the value system, where the culture and the will of the king is allowed to be exercised without restraint. So a kingdom is defined as any territory where, number one, the influence, number two, the value system, number three, the culture Number four, the will of a king is allowed to be exercised without restraint. This is a very important definition. When you go to the kingdoms that are around the world, they are not a democracy. The territory reflects the value of a king. If the king is a benevolent king, he will cut that energy, will be all over his territory. Are we together? It comes from two words, king's domain. So the first word there is king, talks about the monarch, and then the domain where the king resides, and he influences that domain with his influence, culture, value system, will. If you understand me so far, shout amen. Amen. It's very important that we lay that foundation so that when you hear us talk kingdom, 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 what we simply mean is the governing influence of God, the governing influence of heaven. Please, you may want to write that down. So that anywhere you hear kingdom, we are simply talking about the governing influence of heaven, the governing influence of God at work in a life or at work in a territory. I needed to put that foundation. It's very important. Now, the second thing I want to say, and this I think is very, very important, I may request that you just look up and listen, is that there are two dimensions to kingdom come. And I think with all due respect, a lot of preachers have not understood these two dimensions. And so people would usually select one or the other. But when it has to do with kingdom, or in its proper form, kingdom come, there are two dimensions to it. And this is what I want to introduce in this session. So there is the kingdom as a person. There is the kingdom personified in the person Jesus. I'll do an overview, and then in maybe subsequent sessions we can take them in detail. But it's important for you to know that the first dimension of kingdom or kingdom come is as a person, Jesus. Hallelujah. Very, very important. So if you understand my definition, the governing influence of heaven, Jesus came as an embodiment. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, would you give us 15? Let's do 15 to 19. Colossians 1, 15 to 19. Please look as I read. The Bible calls Jesus the image of the invisible God. Are we Bible students? It calls him the firstborn of every creature. Reading to 19, verse 16 now. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be, help me, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. 17. It now says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Shout 19 if you are a believer. Ready? 1, 2, go. For it pleased the Father that in him. So Jesus is the fullness of the government, the fullness of the influence, the life of God. Are we together? When you call him the king, when you call him the kingdom, you are right. This is the first dimension of the kingdom. If you do not understand the kingdom as a person, it'll be difficult for you to understand any other concept in the kingdom. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus is the embodiment. One more scripture, Colossians 2 and verse 9. Colossians 2 and 9. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you agree now? So when we call Jesus the kingdom, you know, he began to speak to them and he said, repent, for the kingdom is within your reach. He was not talking about an abstract concept. He was talking about the presence, that I have come as an embodiment of the glory of the Father, the wisdom of the Father. Is someone learning now? I have come as the culture. Remember, the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was the logos of God. Everything God was thinking, he was living it out. Is someone learning now? Jesus as the kingdom. But there's the second dimension of kingdom There is the kingdom, or kingdom come as God's program, God's prophetic program. And it's important to understand that dimension. So there is the person who represents the kingdom, but there is the program called kingdom come. Now, I need you to understand this concept because I'm about to reveal to you something about the statement, thy kingdom come. That statement is divided into two. If you are an unbeliever, there are two dimensions of that statement that need to happen in your life. But if you are a believer, one of that statement has been fulfilled. It will no longer be kingdom come for you. The moment you get born again, the kingdom has come within you. The person of Jesus, but there is the program. Now, that's the mistake. If you do not understand that there is also the kingdom come as a program, you will celebrate the arrival of the person, but never fulfill the agenda of the king. Who is learning now? Are we together? So Jesus comes into your heart. And for you, that statement as a personal level, thy kingdom come, no longer holds. It's been fulfilled. The kingdom came when you got born again. Now, but there is the program. And I'll be unveiling it to us. Who is learning? Many times, ministers choose one or the other. So you can choose the presence of Jesus. And now to receive it, and you can say, well, there's nothing to do again. And that kind of theology makes an ineffective believer. Because remember, we are saved to serve. And if he comes into you and you do not have an understanding of his program, you will be born again, but you cannot be a witness. What makes you a witness is an awareness that there is a program beyond you. Is someone learning now? Yes. The end product of this whole work of the Word and the Spirit is to produce witnesses, extensions of God's grace and glory, validators of his claim, not just to have people who are saved. So there is the kingdom as a person, an embodiment of the glory, the culture, the wisdom, the power, the fullness of God. It comes from the Greek word pleroma. The word pleroma is what we use in our world today as headquarters. The headquarters, or the center of activity. So when the Bible calls him the fullness of God, the Greek word there is pleroma. And it means the fullness. That is the focal point from which everything spreads. The fullness of God. Then there is the kingdom as a program. If you've understood me so far, shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is very important. So thy kingdom come, I wrote here, is about establishing the lordship, the life, the influence, the culture, and the power of the Christ. First in the hearts of men, and then across the cosmos, every strata of human activities. You have to understand this introduction. I'm summarizing for you that the whole kingdom come concept is about establishing the lordship. If you are writing, please write. I'll be patient until you write. Establishing the lordship, the life, the influence, the culture, the power of Christ. I'll take that again. I use my words very carefully, that the kingdom come, or thy kingdom come, is about establishing the lordship, the life, the influence, the culture, the power of Christ, first in the hearts of men. This is where Jesus, the kingdom, applies, and then across every strata of human activities. If you understand this, then every other discussion becomes profitable. When we say thy kingdom come, it is not just a Christian expression that we found in the Bible. Thy kingdom come is a press, it's a determination, it's an agenda, it's a cry in the spirit. Jesus himself said for us when we pray to say thy kingdom come. And remember, every other thing he would say after that was connected to kingdom come. Give us our daily bread was connected to kingdom come. Forgive us our trespasses, connected to kingdom come. Deliver us from evil, connected to kingdom come. Meaning that remaining part of the prayer is useless to you until you understand kingdom come. There is no reason praying give us our daily bread if you do not understand kingdom come. In fact, what he's even saying is that when the kingdom really comes, you will not need to say, give us our daily bread. The fact that you have to pay, give us our daily bread, is a sign that the kingdom has not yet manifested. Having to pray those needs, deliver us from evil, give us our daily bread, those are symptoms of the absence of the kingdom. Because when the kingdom comes, are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so kingdom come is about establishing the lordship, the life, the influence, the culture, the power of Christ in the hearts of men and across every strata. And this project of kingdom come is divided into three. I'm doing an overview for a first session. Divided into three. Number one, the first dimension of this agenda we call kingdom come is about the salvation of men. It's called world evangelization or world missions. This is the first dimension. World evangelization, global missions, the salvation of men. This is the first port of call. In discussing kingdom come, it's important that your heart goes straight to the issue of the salvation of men, because that is the official entry system into the kingdom. The official recruitment system into the kingdom is not membership in church. It's not being born by Christian parents. Salvation is the authorized gateway. And so if you ignore salvation, it's impossible to have people in the kingdom. Is someone learning now? So the first dimension is salvation. Number two, discipleship. The second aspect of kingdom come is discipleship. The process that makes men become like Christ in experience. The process that transforms people. This is the transformative process. And my goodness, I hope one of the sessions will take that. In manifesting the kingdom, the core of our discussion will be on men. Because as you'll be learning, manifesting the kingdom absolutely depends on men. It's the business of God and men. The spirit and the bride. Are we together now? If you do not understand the God-man partnership, then the kingdom will never find expression in any territory. It doesn't matter what prophecy you have. It doesn't matter how accurate it is. The manifestation of anything kingdom depends on the God-man partnership. The word becoming flesh depended on God and the participation of a young virgin for Jesus to manifest in the flesh. The advancement of the gospel, Jesus came and died, but it was not Jesus that spread the gospel. Are we together now? The spreading of the gospel depended on the Holy Ghost walking through yielded vessels who were willing to give their lives up unto death. The first aspect, are we following now? Number one, world evangelization. Number two, discipleship. Can I break it down a little for you? Okay. There are five levels of discipleship. Please listen. And with all due respect, let me just say this to men of God. You can know the quality of a believer by the structure of discipleship they submit themselves to. Are we together now? Yes. No matter how well-intentioned that believer is, there is a discipleship curricula that if you omit, there will be a defect in what will come out. There are five levels. There may be more, but let me just say this quickly. Number one, the first aspect of discipleship is spiritual and moral development. Spiritual and moral development. In building men, the men who will frontier the kingdom, who will advance God's program, the first port of call, I hope you're not confused. Discipleship, spiritual and moral development. They are similar, but they are not the same. You can develop a man spiritually to live by faith Are we together? To learn how to speak the word. But that moral component is very important. They go together. Spiritual and moral development. Number two, capacity building. The second aspect of discipleship. And I submit to you, this is largely missing, especially among people who seriously love God. There is a bias. Because when you press into God, you love him with all your heart, chances are excellent that because of that encounter, you may not see any value in building capacity. And so we have a lot of believers who love God, consecrated people, but they do not have capacity. There's no skill. Any aspect of this discipleship omitted will frustrate the product God is trying to produce. Is someone learning now? In order of priority, when you want to raise men, this is what makes you, I think I preached a message here during the pastor's conference last year or year before last, and I think it's worth listening to, the Wise Master Builder. You can search for it and find it. I think it will add to your understanding. Spiritual and moral development. Number two, capacity building. Hallelujah. Very, very important. Number three, leadership development. The church, I submit to you, has not done such a great job in this aspect. We have many people who, even though they pray, the truth is that the deficiency in their leadership understanding cannot allow God to answer some prayers the body of Christ is praying. There are some prayers the body of Christ is praying. Prayers that have to do with influence, prayers that have to do with territorial dominion. Our deficiency in leadership cannot allow that prayer to be answered, because it's going to be a casualty to the kingdom when an ill-trained believer is trusted with influence over men and over territories. For instance, the use of words. In leadership, one of the rule of thumb is to know how to speak. Nations have gone to war because someone with influence did not know how to speak. Are you seeing now? Our ill training in knowing how, the Bible says, if a man err not in words, that man is a perfect man. You imagine, for instance, that the president of XYZ nation is my member and I've not taught him how to speak. And he goes to a parliament and just says anything and says, I'm saying my mind. You see how he can send a nation to war. Innocent children will die because someone, although he was a consecrated person, did not understand leadership. Is someone learning now? I'm giving you these dimensions of discipleship. Raising men is not an ambiguous project. There are dimensions and there are coordinates. You can know that you are raising powerful men. Again, spiritual and moral development. Then number two, capacity building. What's number three? Leadership development. That's where you teach people relational skills. You teach them that the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but truthfully speaking, the earth he has given to the sons of men. And if you don't know how to relate with the men in your world, we talk about bilateral agreements at a national, at a macro level. The intelligence to be able to weave your sentiments using relationships is the reason why many people in the church cannot be trusted with kingdom influence. So we are praying over things our growth cannot allow to come, or lack of growth. One of the ways God answers a man's prayer is by suspending the prayer request and causing you to grow. Did you hear what I said? One of the classic ways God answers prayer is not to bring the result, because every result you ask in prayer depends on a certain spiritual version of you. There is a version of you that will keep rejecting your answer. It's not a demonic issue. It's that you are too stunted for that answer to arrive. So when God wants to show you mercy, he will cause you to grow. When you grow, the answer comes. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. And the government is upon the shoulder of the son, not the child. No, baby Jesus is welcomed, but we cannot call him Savior. Baby Jesus cannot save us. He needed to grow, to increase in wisdom, in stature. Are we together? God himself had to be patient for the baby to become an adult, because an heir, for as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Let me finish number five. Or number what now? Number four, empowerment. The fourth aspect of discipleship that believers need to understand is empowerment. Empowerment in all its ramifications. You cannot raise a people to advance the kingdom of God if they are not empowered. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us the whole world lies in wickedness. It's not a fact that is subject to any sentiment or debate. It is the truth. Are we together? For as long as you are alive, Jesus himself, listen carefully. One of the things you need to learn about Satan is that he's a stubborn spirit. He's a stubborn spirit. It takes enforcing that which is written to make for compliance. And that's one of the definitions of power. Power is not just the force that brings solutions. It is the capacity to enforce compliance. Say unto God, Psalm 66 verse 3, how terrible art thou in all your works? It is through the greatness of thy power that thy enemies shall submit themselves to you. Believers need to understand the dynamics of empowerment. We have left empowerment for apostles and prophets, not knowing that the governor needs empowerment, not knowing that it takes empowerment for a mother to train five children. Satan will prefer to attack the five children than to attack someone who has 10 more years before he dies. Which one is more profitable? To attack someone who is on his way dying already, or to start with the child who already has 50 years. Are we together now? It takes empowerment. And most believers do not understand the dynamics of empowerment. We know how to receive, but we do not know how to retain. So there's a lot of falling, and I'm not being sarcastic. There's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of I receive, but it takes strength to retain. Discipleship. Number five, the fifth aspect of discipleship is purpose and destiny. What gives value to anything you receive in the kingdom is its ability to be connected to purpose. Once any spiritual gift, any spiritual quality is not connected to purpose, it becomes useless. What gives value to Esther's beauty is purpose. What gives value to Samson's strength is purpose. When Satan wants you to waste your gift, he doesn't stop you from using the gift. He takes away purpose from it. So you are dissipating energy over something that is not directly leading to kingdom come. Is someone learning now? Purpose. Jesus was going to submit anyway, but not to Satan. And Satan said, listen, why don't you bow to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms and the glories they've been given unto me. Jesus would one day submit, but not to Satan, and not at that point. So Satan always is about fighting purpose. I don't know who I'm prophesying to, but in the name of Jesus, this year 2026, may this be the year God will reorder your life. Amen. You have been dissipating energy, but with respect to kingdom come, what you are doing is not directly advancing God's program. So Satan can occupy you. You will keep being busy and you will believe that just by being busy, you are bringing glory to the name of the Lord. Until your energy, your time is invested directly to kingdom come, you do not have so much value as far as God's program is concerned. You may be valuable as a child of God, but your weight with respect to your usefulness is very small. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Church is quiet. Semalando sabra haskia dabala kosiada. Pranta sabaranto skelebe getebras. Krata bababara katabrande getebele debosh. Thy kingdom come. Your influence, your power, your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, very quickly, God's strategy for executing and manifesting the kingdom is man. It has always been and will always be. God's strategy for executing, God's strategy for manifesting the kingdom is man. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, whom shall we send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me.
Hallelujah. God's strategy has always been man, more particularly the man in Christ, and then corporately speaking, the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent that now, unto principalities and powers, give it to us please, in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifest, the manifold, multi-layered, multifaceted wisdom of God. Is someone learning now? By the church. So God's strategy, listen, you are not just a believer, you are God's strategy. This is very powerful. This is the official definition of the church. Not just a gathering of people, not just pillars and people coming there. The church is God's official strategy. Are we together now? God's official strategy for achieving the Kingdom Come program. This is powerful. He can do without us, but he's chosen to make us co-laborers. The Bible calls us partakers of the heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling, but we have been made partakers of it. The Bible also calls us co-laborers. That should be 1 Corinthians 3, I believe, verse 9. Co-laborers. Co-laborers with Christ. Co-laborers. Someone say, I'm a co-laborer. Yes, sir. I am a co-laborer. Is someone learning now? Now, let me say this. I hope my introduction is making sense to everybody. How do you know that you are building a vessel correctly? How do you know a believer is growing correctly? There's what we call the fullness of God expressed in a man. I need to say this. You know that a believer is attaining unto maturity when these four dimensions are captured in him. We find that in Revelation chapter 4, 6 to 8. Now, everything around the throne room reflects the glory of God. Are we together? John and Ezekiel also saw this, saw what we call the four living creatures, the four beasts. And he gives a very interesting description. And I wonder what those creatures were doing before the throne. I'm not sure if I were God, I would keep these kinds of creatures before the throne. If you saw these kinds of creatures in a dream, you will first bind them and say, I don't care that I've seen you in the Bible. What are you doing in my dream? Remain there on the throne. I want angels, I want good things, not four living creatures. Are we together? But he says something very interesting, and please pay attention. He talks about the creatures having four faces. These four faces represent the various dimensions that must evolve in a believer if you are to represent the program of God fully. Number one, he talks about the face of a lion. This talks about the dominion aspect of the believer's life. Jesus himself associates himself with the lion. That is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So when you come into Christ, as you are taught how to walk by faith, understanding authority and power, that is the lion dimension there. Please look up. Now, the danger is if you remain as a lion alone, the side effect is pride. Please, everybody, listen. We'll revisit this again. It is dangerous to be the lion alone. Because even the gathering of lions is called. Hallelujah. And the last time I checked, pride goes before a fall. When you press for the dimension of the lion alone, you know who you are in Christ. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. You understand the power of words. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You see, the next phase becomes the balance, the face of a calf. It teaches you that the purpose of authority and power is service. If that dimension is not interwoven in your training, you will produce an arrogant people who know who they are, but with it, they will cause so much trouble in the church. Have you seen people like that? They say, lift up your hands. Say, for what? I know who I am. I don't need to lift up my hands. They say, let's fast for 3 days. I got another revelation. I have access to God by myself. I'm not being sarcastic. That is the side effect of raising a lion alone. Maybe this is solving a pastor's problem right now. Why there are lions in your church? They know everything. They are happy. They are powerful. They even see problems in your own life as a pastor. I tell you what to introduce. You need to teach them service. That the purpose of dominion, as demonstrated by Jesus, is not just for self-aggrandizement and pride, but to be a servant. Now, the face of the calf is very interesting because when you become a servant, the side effect is that men will take advantage of you. They will rest, and then when they are done resting, they will wake you up as a preacher and say, "Remember, God sent you to us." And you say, "Truly, I'm a servant." If you do not understand service and even the boundary of it, the side effect is that you will become so discouraged you may not even fulfill your days. The next phase becomes the balance, the face of a man. It teaches you that even though you have dominion, even though you have been called to serve, you must know the limits because you are human. I like the way the Bible does not hide the humanity of Jesus. It says Jesus was hungry. It says Jesus wept. Are we together now? Because that dominion training stops you from crying. But this other face tells you it is okay to cry. That dominion face tells you you should never go to the hospital. It's an embarrassment to redemption. But that face of a man says, while you are speaking, it is okay to go and see a doctor. I tell you why there's a deficiency in the kind of believers. It is we select one of these dimensions. So there are those emphasizing lions. We are producing lions in the body of Christ. They are roaring. When there's no prey, they are roaring. Roaring everywhere. There are those who are producing servants. Are we together? And even when great opportunities come, they say, "I'm a servant." Increase comes, "I'm a servant." There's an opportunity for you to be a manager for the sake of the kingdom. They say, "No, my training, I'm a servant." But there are those who are humans. They allow everything. They say, "It's my mind. I'm human. Everything, I'm human. Speak the word." "No, I won't lie like that. I'm a human being." But then when you know you are human, the side effect is you will allow Satan to wreck your life because you will excuse everything that happens in your life. The justification will be, "I am." You will not take the responsibility that evolves you into a king, a priest, a man, a woman of power. Then he balances it with the last face. He says, "You are divine, even though you are human." The face of the lion, the face of the calf, the face of man. The face of the eagle. Show me a believer who captures this face. I show you a man who can advance the kingdom. Is someone learning now? So in this place right now, there are people who are predominantly lions. There are those who are predominantly calves. You would have been by far blessed. But I'm speaking apostolically. Maybe a well-intentioned man of God sold you a theology that made you to reject every good thing. As proof of humility. Tonight we want to add to your being a calf. We want to add other dimensions. For those who are lions, listen. Lions choose their time to roar. When you roar up and down day and night, you are wasting your energy. That's not how you dominate. Are we together? Those who are calves, who have refused to receive the blessings that equip them to serve the purposes of God. That man would have been a kingdom millionaire today and he would have brought resources to the kingdom. But a theology in his mind made him to reject good things and he called it godliness. Number three, there are many people who remain perpetually carnal. It does not matter. You say, "Let's pray." Say, I'm not like that. You have the grace. Me, I'm a human being. For those people, the Lord is giving you wings to take you to become like the eagle. Because you see, when you are a man, there are many limitations that surround the world of men. Then he reminds you, you are not just the eagle, but you are the flying eagle. You can soar above every situation and every circumstance. Is someone learning now? Yes. Kingdom come depends on the quality. Please listen. the quality of the training. A major part of my discussion through my sessions will be on showing you the strategies for manifesting the kingdom. Right now, we're discussing the men. I tell you why the program of God seems to be limited across the nations of the earth. It is not a deficiency in prophecy. The prophecy both from scripture and prophecy that has come through trusted vessels, it's been there for years and decades. It is that everybody claims to have the formula for leading to revival. But when we look at it, everybody really has the pieces, a piece of it, until we believe in ourselves. The lions receive the balance of the calf. The calf who is about to die, because men will kill you and say you died. Someone needs to teach them when to rest when they are tired. Someone needs to teach them when to eat right. Someone needs to teach them that if they catch you as a man of God at the corridors of a hospital, say, what are you doing here? Say, what do they do here? Don't make people feel guilty for making a commitment to live long. Is someone learning now? And then, of course, those who are divine. So although you are ordinary, we'll be discussing it there. You understand that I'm not just an ordinary person, I'm a life-giving spirit. The color of my skin notwithstanding, the sound of my voice notwithstanding, when duty calls, you wear that priestly regalia and you can do much for the kingdom. Honestly, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why I thank God for Wolfbeck, there is a spiritual reorientation going across the body of Christ in Nigeria. There are certain messages certain people would not have been able to listen to with respect to the circles they have come from. God has raised platforms like Wolfbeck to penetrate this, because there is a revival that is coming. But you see, the challenge with knowledge and vision is that vision also creates limitation. Because if I'm looking at the woman of God now, I cannot see this man here. That is proof that I am focused. Is that true? Anybody who is focused must also have a blind spot. That's the side effect of being focused. So what the Spirit of God is doing, and I'm being prophetic here now, God is bringing people out of the various caves where he has trained them. The dimensions that has been trapped through their sacrifices of years, God is introducing it to the body. Those who have the sensitivity, they are now seeing that, okay, if I add this to what I know about prayer, but I've not learned about my place in Christ. This is what has been frustrating my prayer life. So I've been praying as a victim. And God now sends someone to tell you that no, the foundation for a victorious prayer is an understanding of the finished work of Christ. Now you go back with that addition and your prayer produces power. When you engage in warfare, you are not trying to win. You are going as one who has won and is using the resources of heaven to establish the kingdom. Is someone learning now? To the man of God who loves God, is consecrated, but cannot pay the children's bill. And he's saying, Lord, this does not add up. Someone in one cave has been trained on how to use the resources of the kingdom. Now he brings that dimension and you receive it. Let me tell you this. One of the ways to know you benefited from Wolfbeck is you must live with a dimension you did not come with. If all that happened to you in Wolfbeck was revision, you failed. You failed the test. The quality of truths, I believe, that have come from ministers of the gospel across different expressions. There's a reason why God allowed his servant to do that. Dimensions. Because sometimes as men of God, our biases and our nuances will not allow us to let our people hear some things they need. So God uses a neutral ground to force that truth to them, because he's more interested in their growth than our sentiments. I hope this is a careful start. We're just starting. I came to warm my plane. We're going far, but we'll land well in the name of Jesus. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people who have not experienced the kingdom, the embodiment of the kingdom, but they have learned the principles of the kingdom, and they have been able to simulate the atmosphere of heaven within their organizations. And because of that, when you talk about kingdom come and the blessings around kingdom come, it looks like their atmosphere. So they say, I already have it. You talk about finance, they say, I have it. You talk about rest, say, my children are fine. But you see, there is a dimension of the kingdom that is not external. You can have the physical manifestation of the kingdom, the blessings that come with the kingdom. But if you do not have the embodiment of the kingdom, Jesus himself living within you, there is a big problem. So in training men to be kingdom people, leave the issue of wisdom, leave the issue of value, leave the issue of confession. Introduce them to Jesus first. Let them have the kingdom residing within them. Let me tell you this. You know one of the blessings of having the life of God within your spirit? If you are not born again, there are some things that cannot leave your life. Satan perpetually has access to your life. Counseling will not solve it. Therapy will not solve it. There are many people who should be saved that are trying to replace salvation with counseling and therapy. It will not work because salvation is a translation from the kingdom of darkness. What does that mean? By the definition I've taught you, the kingdom of darkness means the influence, the culture, the domain. You are perpetually under a magnetic force. Then there is a translation into the kingdom of his dear son. When God was calling me into ministry, one time I had a vision, and it was a similitude of the Mount of Transfiguration. But this time around, I was the one who was standing there. And there were two men of God that stood by my left and my right, representing the dimensions that he's given me grace to communicate to the body. One of those men that stood by my right was Dr. Miles Monroe. And from that encounter, God began to teach me that there are two dimensions I've committed to you. Number one is a communication of the spirit life, the divine life, helping people understand the riches that comes with the God life, the life of the spirit, and how to take advantage of the resources of the spirit to produce a life of victory and a life of dominion. But number two, to understand the kingdom and the implication of living in the kingdom and manifesting the kingdom, thereby bringing glory to the Father. And so when I saw this theme and this topic, it meant so much to me because it reminded me again of those visions. God has granted me the grace to stray through to these dimensions. You never find me speaking outside of these two dimensions. I'm helping you to understand the kingdom. This is the system that raises reformers, men who transform nations, men who transform territories. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, the revival that we're talking about will not just end on the pulpit, will not just end in church buildings. It will start from there. But the assignment of this pulpit is to disciple the reformers. For as long as the scope of our understanding is just our personal needs, personal victories, we will not be able to take our territory for Jesus. Thy kingdom come is not the name of a topic, it's a call. It's a call to responsibility. It is very, very easy to change Nigeria, to change Africa. Revival happens when revivalists are ready. And let me define for you who is a revivalist. Is beyond a prayer warrior, is beyond a fasting giant, is one who has been built holistically to frontier the program of God with excellence. If your concept of being a revivalist ends with just being a prayer warrior or a word confessor, your understanding is limited. If everybody here becomes a pastor, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Both the nation and the program of God, we're in trouble. What happens when someone takes you to court? You can pray in the secret, but I don't want to go ahead of myself. I'm going to be teaching you how to manifest the kingdom. And we'll be looking at a concept in John 1:14. The Bible says, the word became flesh. Many believers, ladies and gentlemen, will find somewhere to pray. But many believers do not know how to manifest the kingdom. You will now know that what we call science, what we call technology, they are the vehicles that help to reveal the kingdom in our world. The airplane that flies you today is a manifestation of the kingdom, but it came through the mind of a scientist. Are we together now? I'm going to be reconciling, hopefully once and for all, science and spirituality, arts and spirituality. They are not a dichotomy. One is a servant to another. One is the vehicle that reveals the glory of God. No matter how powerful and anointed I am, Pastor Poju and every man of God, a simple invention like the aircraft has advanced the gospel more than most believers. A simple invention like the internet has advanced. Can you imagine that I'm speaking right now and across the globe, across the nations, I am amazed at what these technological advantages have brought to the kingdom. So when we say thy kingdom come, please take your mind away from the narrow-minded understanding. I don't want to make it look like I'm abusing these things, but this conference is broadening your understanding of kingdom come. As Pentecostals and charismatics, we already have a mold of what we believe kingdom come is. If I tell you, paint for me the picture of a believer who can be a witness, you usually will paint for me the picture of a prayer warrior, and that's wonderful. A picture of someone who fasts and pray, that's wonderful. A picture of someone who speaks the word, most people will stop there. That kind of person cannot bring the kingdom of God. He can engineer the spiritual process, but it will never manifest because it depends on other provisions, and this conference is bringing the balance. Hallelujah. God is building men. That is how he raises men. When he calls men, he calls them to himself. Then he begins to work on them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, one of the major proofs that you love the Lord is to painfully submit to the making process that makes you become that instrument of honor. And we're going to look at that. I don't want to go ahead of myself. There are five names you must be called as a believer, as a testament of the efficiency of your training. If you really want to serve the purposes of God, you must grow to a point where those names become true in your life. Number one is a life-giving spirit. You must understand what it means to be a life-giving spirit. You cannot be a blessing, ladies and gentlemen, until you understand you are a life-giving spirit. The first Adam was a living soul. The last Adam was a life-giving spirit. You know what that means? You are a distributor of divine realities. This is something it must become a stronghold in your mind. Number two, you must understand the implication of being a savior. I'm saying many things as an overview. The Bible talks about saviors. If you don't believe you are a savior, by savior, you know what that means? Savior. Meaning you always think solution. When you find yourself somewhere, you don't join those crying. You know that the reason why God sent you is because they are crying. Those who have a savior mentality don't wait for salvation to come from anywhere else. They know that they are light. They know that they are salt. Who is learning now? So that all through this year, 2026, you don't go around waiting for salvation to come. You know that the reason why others are crying, the answer to their cry is you being there. There is another name that you have to be called. I hope you like that one. It's the name servant. Now, my time is up. I don't want to play with words, but these are Pentecostal charismatic circles. We have a lot of reconciliation issues to do when it has to do with terminologies. You know, when you mention the word servant, immediately most Pentecostals say, no way, I'm not a servant, I'm a son. I agree. We are both sons. Or when you, words like bond servant, a vessel, unto honor, and all of those things. But they are not words of conflict at all. You cannot be used by God until you are a servant. The hallmark of sonship is that you are a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was a son, but he became a servant to prove that he was a son. You must become a vessel unto honor. The Bible says, but in a great house. Have you read that in your Bible? In a great what? These are names that sound like a mockery, but they only reveal your poor understanding. When you know God to a level where you are willing to give all, you will know that you have to be a servant, or to be a vessel, if I will use that word, means that you have willingly relinquished your will to embrace the will of the Father. It's not weakness. It's a demonstration of great strength because you are doing it on your own. So Paul will say, I, Paul, a bond servant. The word there is a love slave. One who as though is a slave, but what is holding me is not oppression. It's the love of God that constrains me. The believer who does not know this will be a conditional believer. You will run away when things go bad. You must understand what it means to be a bond servant, a vessel. You must understand what it means to be a witness, a validator of God's claim. We'll still look at this some more, but I'm hoping someone got an understanding tonight that when we say the kingdom come, we're simply talking about the whole exercise of working in partnership with the Holy Spirit, taking advantage of all the resources that have been made available for us in Christ to frontier the program of God, establishing the lordship of the Christ, who is the embodiment of the kingdom, first in the hearts of men, and then across every strata of human activities, until the kingdoms of this world, the Bible says, become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Now, before I wrap up, I have a few seconds. Let me tell you what will not happen. When we talk about kingdom advance, we're not talking about Nigeria suddenly becoming like Dubai next year in terms of infrastructure. Now, the carnal mind interprets takeover as physical things. No, it is the battle for the spirits and the minds of men. Are we together now? Territorial transformation is not just about building infrastructures alone. It's about transforming the men there. Some of you may have heard Dr. David Ugweli teach a lot about men and systems. When systems are deficient, what you correct is not the system. What you correct is the man. Have you carried a brand new shirt and given somebody who maybe some rough guy somewhere, not to insult, give that guy 2 weeks, his mindset will show on that shirt. You wore that shirt for 1 year, it didn't tear, it was white, it was neat. In 2 weeks, the shirt becomes red, there's a tear here. The shirt did not tear itself. It came into a life and assumed the mindset of the possessor. So every time there is a system failure, whether morally, whether financially, dealing with the system first is not a wise way. You transform the back end, the people who are causing that failure. And that's what God is doing. Can we pray now? Please rise up on your feet. Hold someone's hand. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away. Sing it one more time. Every tongue. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you'll be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away. My time is up. Can I lead you to pray a prayer in just 1 minute? Father, I pray that the kingdom of God will be released through my life. That through my life, the kingdom will find expression in my environment. Go ahead. The kingdom, the culture, the wisdom,
the power, the grace, the favor, the intelligence, the compassion, everything that makes God God, everything that represents the culture of heaven, let it emanate through my life. Let it flow like a river. Let the love that comes with the kingdom flow through my life. Let the wisdom that comes with the kingdom flow through my life. Let the power that comes with the kingdom flow through my life. Let the favor that comes with the kingdom flow through my life. Let the influence that comes through the kingdom flow through my life.